Well, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me good? Yep, I can hear me. So, I was just thinking, talking to Kurt this morning, when we were, how good God is, you know, in providing, how that inch of rain that we got first part of the week was so instrumental in the crops finishing. Wow. And so God is good, and he's taking care of the farmers and taking care of us, and we can be so thankful today for his goodness to us. And so there's so much to always give praise to the Lord for. So in Sunday school class this past year, we were going through the book of Acts. So it's pretty fresh in my mind. And the thing that I've seen in teaching the class is that it was the power for me, it was the amazing power of the church and how it got started in the book of Acts and how that spread and grew in the world. And I wanted to talk about that this morning. And in Acts 1:8, we'll read that. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem," that's your hometown, "throughout Judea, the surrounding towns, in Samaria," maybe to the not so likable people, that's what I call Samaria, because the Israel and Samaria, Jerusalem, the Jews in Samaria, did not get along, and to the ends of the earth. And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." So let's just take a minute to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Your word is so precious to us every day, and we need it every minute, Lord. And we thank you for your word, your promises. And this morning, Father, as we look into the power of the early church and the establishment of that, Father, help us to see what in our own lives that we need to address, Lord, and we need to change. And Father, where you want to take each one of us individually today is our prayer, that we would see and we would be courageous and we would respond to you, Lord. And Father, may all everything said honor you, and Lord, that you would cancel out anything that I say that is not honoring to you, that is not good, Father, but it would all be for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as we study that, Acts 1:8 is a theme verse, and the disciples were asking the question, "Lord, has the time come?" And we're wondering about that today, aren't we? We're still wondering, are we, and about this, that same question today. And Jesus said, that's not for you to be concerned about. That's the Father's business. Our business is to trust the Lord. He is giving us power to accomplish his will, to tell others about the Lord. What are the disciples? That was amazing. What they did, they shared the gospel, and God did the rest. And the church began to grow in every town. And they're to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and all throughout the surrounding area and the world of that time. And Jesus went to heaven, and he will return one day. And that's a promise. That is exciting. That's a promise. He's coming back. Meantime, we have to work. We have work to do, don't we? We have work to do. and wonderful work. He's no longer visible, but he is still working in and through us to accomplish his will. And I want to talk about that word power this morning a little bit. How many of you have been flown in a big commercial jet somewhere? Come on, everybody's hands got to be up here for near. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So isn't it, you know, one of the things that I love the best about getting into a big jet and flying off is the power. I can't wait to get taxiing down and get to the runway and get set and feel that throttles come on and set you back in the seat. And hundreds of thousands of pounds of aircraft and people and baggage, and it still sets you back in the seat. That's power. I was remembering one time we were flying, Cindy and I were flying to Cuba. We had to stop in Saskatoon. And I don't know what, we didn't even have to get off the plane, just a quick stop. And the pilot must have got the word when he was taxiing out to the runway that he got the word, I'm thinking this is what it was, that the control tower told him, if you're going to take off, you need to do it now. And when we hit the end of the taxi strip, you could feel the plane just, I almost thought I heard some screeching wheels going around the 90-degree corner to get on the runway. Looking out the window, I didn't see any sparks coming off the end of the wing, so I thought, that's good. And immediately just the power came on and we were going. And I wonder, it was a good experience. It was awesome. It was cool. And I wonder after if that pilot got in trouble for that. But he got out of there. And but it's amazing to feel that power of a jet. How many of you kids maybe ask you this question? Have you been to the monster truck rally, Matthew? Yeah, yeah. Anybody else been to a monster truck rally? A lot of smoke and thunder and power going on in there, isn't there? Yeah. So, and it's a wonderful to experience it. And when you go to the drag races, you know, when we used to go to the drag races when I was in my early 20s, they were hitting 200 miles per hour in the quarter mile. Now they're hitting 300. So that power is, every ounce of that metal in that car has to be doing its thing, has to be bang on, or that car is going to blow up, or it's not going to make it. It's so much power being thrust to the wheels there. But as we think about this kind of power, it's not really big compared to God's power. And as we study the early church in Acts, the church was born at Pentecost. Remember in Acts chapter 2, probably you've read about this, the believers were gathered in one place, and the Holy Spirit entered the room, about 120 of them. And within, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and immediately they were immediately gifted. And they spoke the languages of the people that were there visiting, all the different languages. And they went out and shared the gospel with them in their own language, and it was amazing. They did that. The people would look at them and say, how can you speak my language just like that? You know? But, and Peter got up and preached, and 3,000 people were saved that day. And then persecution comes, and then the church spread. But this is God's power. So the church, in the first 100 years of the church, it exploded all over the kingdom, the known world at that time, through Jerusalem, Syria, Africa, Asia, Europe, Jews and Gentiles. So 39 cities in the first 100 years of the church's life. In 30 countries, it spread. In 30 countries, islands, and provinces. Now, that's power. You know, as we think about power, we don't often experience God's power, right? We don't feel God's power like when you're in a jet, like when you're at the drag races. You don't feel that. But, you know, you think about the church, you think about God working in each one of us individually, gifting us, and we're all doing our part in his kingdom. Globally, it's powerful, you know, to experience it. If we take the time to look around, we can see God's power and consider it. We can begin to come to understand his power. It's great. It's really great. And God works in mysterious ways. We can't see it. We can know it if we want to. And do we want to? And that's the thing. Sometimes we're moving along so fast in our day and age that we don't slow down enough to really consider what's going on around us and what God is doing in the local thing here, in the world thing, all over the place. And sometimes we have to realize, too, there is so much going on, as we know as Christians, as God's people, that there is a huge amount of activity going on in the unseen world, too. As we were just sharing before, how with the Olympic parade and all these things going on, we see the increase, and it seems like people don't even blink an eye anymore at evil and wickedness. It doesn't bother them anymore. It's on the increase. There's so much unseen activity of wickedness, but God has his angels working too. So the disciples were anxious, and they were wondering and hoping. And Jesus assured them it is coming, but in God's time. But you know, as we think about power, I wanted to just go into that. How can we live like the early disciples did and experience this wonderful power? And I desire that in my life. I don't know about you, but I just desire more and more to walk with the Lord, to know him, to experience him, his power, and his blessing on my life. I desire that more than anything else. I used to, when I was younger, I used to run 90 miles an hour, but I've learned to slow down and, you know, realize that those things aren't so important, and a relationship and a walk with the Lord is what's more important than anything else that we can do. And each of us as believers are filled with the Spirit also. And I struggle with that because I don't feel very powerful a lot of the time. How about you? Do you feel powerful all the time, actually? You know, a lot of times we don't feel very powerful, do we? Don't feel like we're really doing anything for the Lord, but we don't know what God is doing. So as I thought about this, I wanted to just take a look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 this morning. You can turn there if you like. And we'll read that, go through that passage, because you know what? Proverbs really nails it so much for us. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." So, first of all, number one, surrender. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. First, has God got all of your heart? No. You know, there's always something in each of our lives, in my life too, I'm talking to myself here too, that we're holding back on. You know, we're not letting go of something in our lives. Has God got all of your heart? When I experienced salvation back in 1980, God had all of my heart, soul, and mind. He had my attention at that day, and I knew I was saved. I asked Christ to come into my heart, and he changed me. And I became a different person that day. But, you know, over time, we tend to take things back up a little bit. It takes a while to break those old habits, doesn't it? And, you know, God doesn't necessarily have all of our heart. There's always something that is maybe taking a little bit more of a first place in our life than God. Is there something else that we put our trust in? You know, difficulty brings about reality, and that's what happened in my life. Anytime I go through difficulty, I turn to God. We need to turn to God. Sometimes it's the last thing we do, and we try to just really muscle our way through everything, but the Lord just keeps hammering on us until we stop and turn to God. Through difficulty, we can get to see where our trust really is. You know, when we lose someone that's close to us, when someone's sick, when our house burns down, when we're in an accident, when we're robbed, when the internet goes down, you know, those are things that can make us stop and think about where our trust is. We get to see if our trust is in the right place. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Is my heart really with God, or is it somewhere else? Is my mind so full and life so full that there's no room for God? How many of you, when you start praying, that you have a hard time concentrating because you got all this stuff whirring around in your mind? My goodness, yeah. And so you just have to, you know, ask the Lord for ability. Maybe there's something we need to get rid of and slow down in and unload so that we're freer. We can experience God's wonderful blessings and presence in our life. So am I firmly anchored in the Lord, or am I anchored in somewhere else? If so, that anchor is not going to hold. If you're not anchored in the Lord. And each of us need to give that a very, very serious thought today as we think about trust in the Lord in all of your heart. Are you there? No. Then, Lord, what do I need to do? What is it that you want me to do in my life, to surrender in my life? And I'm not here this morning to condemn, to say to you that you need to change everything. No, because most of us are doing what we're supposed to do. It's just these little things that get in the way in our life that maybe God has been speaking to us about, challenging us to. He's been burdening us with. He wants us to do something. There's an area. And so don't think this morning that we have to change everything. No. It's usually the little things. God works one step at a time, one little step at a time. So, so surrender. I'm going to move on to, and then the next part is obedience. Got to catch up here. Is obedience. Lean not on your own understanding. And we say, Lord, you know, many times we say, Lord, that doesn't make sense. Why am I going through this? Why do I have to do this? I don't want to do this. That doesn't make sense. It sounds silly. That's not going to work. And God is asking us to do something. And it's called obedience, and we say, and God wants us to move out in faith. You know, in the early church, when the Lord was crucified and he rose to heaven and he disappeared from their sight, it didn't make sense at all to them. But they loved the Lord so much that they obeyed him. And they waited in that room, and when the Holy Spirit came, they did what they were led to do. And then it all began to make perfect sense as the church spread. And as we look out through the world today, you know, the church is the most amazing organization. It's powerful, and it's established itself throughout the world. And, you know, as we think about wickedness today, Satan and his evil followers know, I believe they know, that as long as the church is present in the world, they will not be able to realize their agenda. And they are waiting for when the church leaves, when the rapture occurs, then they will be able to establish their agenda. And Satan is always ready for that day. He's always ready. And, you know, that's how powerful that the church is. But God works through each of us as his people, you know, as we obey him. And that's how he works. It's not a thundering power, but it's a little bit in you, a little bit in me, a little bit in everybody around the world, and boom, we have this powerful, powerful institution operating. And God is accomplishing his purpose, building his kingdom, and he's accomplishing so many amazing things through these things. So as they obeyed, it made perfect sense. It doesn't make sense, but as we take a step, what's that step that God wants you to take in your life? What is it this morning? Don Garlitz was a famous drag racer. And, you know, I was listening to YouTube of him talking, and he's a Christian. And he honored God with his drag racing. This is back in, same age as me, back in those days. He's got a cross on the top of his car. Had a couple, three accidents, nearly blew his foot off, right off, and flipped his car right over a few times. Don perfected the drag racer so that he put the driver in front of the engine and the machinery so that the driver was safer. But it took a while to get that perfected. But that's the modern day drag racer. But he said, Don shared that he talks to him. We need to learn how to talk to him and think of him as being right here, because he is here. He's in us. And you start to understand how it all works as you walk close to the Lord. So, the disciples were anchored and waiting. And as they put their foot forward, the light came on. And if we never walk with the Lord, we will never fully embrace all he has for us. And it's so true. We miss a lot of God's blessing. We miss a lot of his if we're not obedient. And we need to surrender. We need to be obedient to the Lord, and as the Proverbs is teaching us this morning. I've seen two quotes lately. Just think about these. If God does not fix the situation, he is using the situation to fix you. Think about that. God called you before anyone had an opinion. Finish your assignment. So it encourages us to think about, to move past our circumstances, our difficulty, or difficult people that might be in our lives that are holding us back. Keep going. Don't become a difficult person ourselves. Encourage people. You know what? The devil has an opinion about us. And his opinion about us is this. He hates us and will do anything to discourage or sidetrack us. But you know, God has an opinion about us. We are each very special, and he loves us so much. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he has a very special plan for us. And we are really going to like it if we get on board. And that's the thing. Many of us are there. We're there. But some might be struggling. Some of us might be struggling. I know I struggle lots and with some things in our life. And we have to encourage, we need to pay attention and be careful of our direction as we do these things. You know, in our day and age, or I thought about this today, we all have to be careful that we are not developing bad habits. And that we're discerning, constantly discerning our activity. Because things can come into our life quite easily that can distract us. And, you know, I thought about the word that we are not enabling other people to step into sin or a lifestyle that is damaging to them and the people around them. And I was thinking about parents, that we are not enabling our kids to develop unhealthy habits and lifestyles. We want to have, you know, we're a generation, we want to have everything. And we want our kids to have everything. But that's not always good. That's not always good. And probably not very little of the time is good. And we need to protect from everything that's not always good. We need to follow in a different direction and teach our kids that we can't have everything. Teach ourselves that we can't have everything. We gotta wait for the Lord. And we gotta seek His will in everything. So, in Psalms 32:8, I wanted to read this this morning. We're almost done. I wanted to read this morning here in Psalms 32:8. And I'm going to go to verse 11. It says this, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life, and I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey Him. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. So God is, He is in the business of guiding us down the best pathway of our life. And are we willing to surrender? Are we willing to, or do we want to keep fighting? So constant. And then the third thing in Proverbs is constant awareness. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In the New Living Translation, seek His will in all you do. And I realize that, you know, a lot of times I'm impatient. I have a long ways to go on this. I don't want to wait for the Lord. I want it now. And that's what we are like as a generation. But if you want God to guide you down the best pathway for your life, you need to wait for Him. Don't run ahead of God. He knows what's best for you, what will bring you joy and peace and freedom in your life. And one of those is this morning we need to be aware that we're born again, that we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is so important. That's the first important step, that we need the empowering Holy Spirit living within us to guide us into this relationship with God. And we need to make that commitment this morning if we've never made that. And if we're a Christian this morning, we need to be willing to slow down and let God lead in our life. Constant awareness. Teach ourselves to wait. And I know I got a ways to go with this. And most of the time we'd like to think we are on God's path, and we probably are, and we're doing good. But sometimes we might realize we are really heading in the wrong direction. And that becomes apparent because all of a sudden you feel there's a bit of a gap between you and God. And you need to back up and say, okay, Lord, what went wrong? What do I need to do? And we need to stop and wait for God and listen and see what he is showing us in our lives. A lot of times we don't want to acknowledge God because we want our way. And we're going to go ahead, we're going to railroad ahead and do that. And it turns out bad, usually, every time. Might not turn out bad the first time, but it turns out bad, you know, for the most part, eventually, when we're always running ahead of the Lord. And that's not good. But so, so when we see God's direction in our life, hopefully we are obedient. Be honest with God, humble and broken, and acknowledge him, and we need to acknowledge him, seek his will in all that we do. And we do that. And we will find joy and peace and freedom, so much more in doing that. And number four, he will direct your path. So that's the benefit of all the first three. When we do that, God will direct our path. There's no better place to be than walking with the Lord in step, and we experience God's power. So it's one thing to experience man-made power, like in the drag strip or in a jet plane. But it's another thing to walk with the Lord and experience a power beyond description, a power that is not going to end here but will take us into eternity. And I pray, I hope that everyone here who has never received Christ as Lord and Savior, that you would do that. Make sure you've done that. That's the starting point. And that as God's people, we are walking, seeking to walk with the Lord. So surrender, obedience, constant awareness, and the result is he will direct our path. Study for yourselves Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and apply it. Ask, has God got all my heart? Ask, am I doing what he is calling me to do? Ask, do I talk to him? Do I thank him right through the day? Do I seek his will in every situation that I'm in? That's going on in my life every day. And we strive for that. It's a growing experience, you know, the Christian life. Two steps forward, one back. But we make progress. But you make progress doing that in our relationship with the Lord. This morning, you know, it's just each one of us, it's important that we can be quiet, be for the Lord, and identify what needs to change in our lives. And every one of us, it's all different. We're on a different journey. And we're all different personalities and characters, and God is working in our lives. We need to identify what needs to change. What is that thing that needs to change? And then confess and seek God's power to act. You know, there's a lot of power when we confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a lot of power in that, a lot of peace in that, to know you're on the right standing with the Lord. That we can all see and transition in our lives. That's a challenge today for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, that there's so much instruction in Proverbs and Lord, to be able to see the church and your amazing work through the centuries, and as we see the church today, Father, there is no place, at least I have never found a place that I've traveled, Lord, that it could not find God's people meeting together to worship on Sunday morning. And Father, your power is so evident today. And Lord, we can have that power. The disciples experienced it. The apostles experienced it. And we can experience it, Lord. We pray that you'll help us to do that in our lives. We pray. And Lord, we ask for guidance on how we need to move forward. Give us courage, Father. Give us humility and brokenness in our lives. And help us to transition in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.